Well, we're continuing with our study of the parables of Jesus. If you want to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 30. And the story of the owner and his property managers. Jesus provides us with an eternal perspective of our earthly wealth and resources. And we're going to read the story, and then I want to focus on three simple lessons that teach us to view earthly riches as something that is on loan to us by God. So Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. The one he gave 5 bags of gold, the other 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with the 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. And the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid the gold, your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The parable of the property owners reminds us that God is the owner of everything. God is the owner of everything. The master in Jesus' story represents God. He is the owner of the estate, and he entrusts his property in the hands of his servants. And Jesus wants us to understand that everything belongs to God. The Bible declares that God created everything, human beings, the earth, all natural resources, in short, everything that we consider to be matter. If you can see it, touch it, or smell it, in an ultimate sense, God created it. Everything finds its origin in God, therefore, everything ultimately belongs to Him. Do you ever use a Sharpie to kind of mark your property, label your property, maybe a lunchbox or Tupperware or maybe books or a suitcase or anything that like that. And your name in permanent marker on something indicates that that is your property, that it belongs to you, that you are the owner. But the Bible, in fact, teaches that we are not the owner, that God is, that we may possess something for a time, but we're not really the owner of it. Everything in life has God's name written on it, property of God. So we can just kind of envision God using a Sharpie and writing, property of me. Christian author Ron Blue just uses the common example of the home that we live in to kind of teach us this lesson. He writes this, he says, if you own your home, take a walk around your property to get a feel for the reality of this truth. Reflect on how long that dirt has been there and how long it will continue to be there. Then ask yourself if you really own it or whether you merely possess it. You may have the title to it, but that title reflects your right to possess it temporarily, not forever. Only God literally owns it forever. And we could look at a lot of passages in Scripture which teach the ownership of God. Think of Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Or from Deuteronomy 8, you may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so if everything belongs to God, then we need to think about what that means for our own lives. You know, how does God want me to use the earthly possessions and resources that I have? How does he want me to use the house that I live in, or the car that I drive, or the bank account I deposit in, or the influence that I have in the community, or the gifts and the abilities that he has blessed me with, or my time and energy, or the mutual funds that I am investing in? Our resources are on loan from God to us for a short time. God is the owner, and we are the managers, we're the stewards, we're the caretakers of the master's property. This leads to the second lesson. The parable of the property managers teaches us that we are the caretakers of the owner's resources. We're the caretakers. The owner goes away and he entrusts his property to his servants. Now, what's less important for us today is the amount. My translation says bags of gold. Literally, it's the denomination of a talent, which was an ancient money denomination worth about $1,000. So a lot of money, a large sum of money. But the amount really doesn't matter, nor does the distribution. All of the servants are given resources from the owner, and they're responsible for their management. They're responsible to God. But what is key for us is this. The owner entrusts something of great value to his servants, and he expects his servants to manage that effectively. That's the role of the caretaker. The caretaker's job is to serve as a manager and to be a wise manager of the owner's resources. The owner entrusted all of his resources to the property managers, and the Bible says that God entrusts all of his resources to us, his people. In essence, God hands us the keys, and he asks us to use his resources wisely. When I think about handing over the keys, I think of a time back in the summer of 1993. Tracy and I had just gotten engaged at college, and we were spending the summer apart. Tracy was here in Indiana, and I was living with my parents in Maryland. You know, and we were very much in love. It was hard to be apart. I was the man of Tracy's dreams, as you might imagine. It was a hard summer, but you know what? Toward the end of the summer, my parents allowed me to drive out and see her, which was a big deal. I was just 20, had never driven that far. And my dad gave me the keys to his car, which was a big deal as well. He was very particular about the care of his vehicles. The owner entrusted something valuable to me. And so it was my job to follow the rules and to take care of the car while it was temporarily in my possession. So handing the keys over is about trust. The owner trusts the manager, the steward, to take care of the property, to be resourceful, while the property manager trusts that the owner will, you know, provide for his or her needs. And so this leads to the third lesson. The owner asks his property managers to invest wisely and for his purposes. We need to use those resources and invest them in a way that gives honor to God. So what is a wise investment from God's perspective? Well, Jesus told us another short parable that teaches us that really we have two options for investing. And I want to read the parable. It's from Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" Now, the man in the story had been blessed with a good crop. And he's very wealthy, and he's faced with a choice. In fact, it's a choice that we all have to make. How will I use the resources that have been entrusted to me? And so the man thinks, you know, what shall I do? He can choose to either be rich toward himself, or he could choose to be rich toward God. Every day we have to make a similar kind of decision. And Jesus tells us that this affluent man chose poorly. He opted to be rich toward himself and to invest in the things of the world. And so he purchased bigger barns and bigger houses, and he added on bigger additions to the biggest, best part of town. And he reached a point that only a few people can reach. He could truly stop working, and he could just live off the wealth that he had accumulated for the rest of his days. And from the world's perspective, this man was a success story. He was the envy of everyone in the community. But Jesus tells us that all of his hoarding and all of his construction projects were in vain, because that very night his life was taken from him unexpectedly. One author envisions an additional chapter to the story. The very next day, many people gathered for this man's funeral. And they praised him for his success, and they praised him for his financial accomplishments. But soon the funeral was over, and everybody went back to their normal routine. Later that night, the angel of the Lord came and engraved one word, only one word, on the man's tombstone. And the word was "fool." And Jesus explains that this man was foolish because he had invested in things that are not eternal. Listen to the sober message of Job 1:21. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." When you get home today, I want you to get out that Sharpie marker again, and I want you to write on the walls of your house, the dashboard of your car, your kitchen counter, the screen of your television, "temporary." I remember as a child going on trips with my parents, and we would stay in a hotel from time to time. And before we would check out, my mother, and this tells you a little bit about the kind of person that she is, she would clean up the room, kind of get it neat and tidy so it wouldn't be so demanding for the worker, which was a nice gesture. However, imagine if she would begin to paint the walls of the room. And she would begin maybe to replace the carpet or add new decorations in the bathroom. And at that point, we would say she was crazy for wasting all of her time and resources, because the room was only a temporary place to stay. And Jesus makes the same point about this life. He says, enjoy your life. Life is a gift from God. But don't get too attached. The things of this world are temporary. We don't take them with us to eternity. Jesus suggests that a better way to live is to be rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? To be rich toward God means to make investments in things that are eternal. And perhaps the greatest way to be rich toward God and to lay up treasure in heaven is to love people. And the greatest way to love people is to share the love and the grace and the hope of God through word and deed. It's been said that the best way to invest your treasure in heaven is by investing in the people who are going there. So I want you to get out your permanent marker one more time and turn to the person sitting next to you, and on their forehead write "eternal," okay? I'm just kidding about that. So, eternal. I want to talk to you for a moment about a couple of practical ways that we can be rich toward God here at RCC. And one way is very familiar. We can be rich toward God by giving to the local church. The local church is God's primary way of advancing his kingdom on earth and preparing people for eternity. So when you give to the local church, in a very practical, real sense, you are investing in heaven. When you give your tithes and offerings to the Rockville Christian Church's general fund or missions fund, whether you're doing it online or giving in the boxes on the back or maybe sending it in the mail, consider what you're investing in. You're investing in the preaching of God's truth, the teaching of God's truth that has the power to change lives and make Jesus known. It's here in person. It's online now. It's even on the radio. You're investing in weekly gatherings and fellowship, which sustain people spiritually. You're investing in baptism and the discipleship of Christians. You're investing in the Great Commission. You're investing in educational programs which give our young children a foundation that will serve them for the rest of their lives and even in eternity. And you're helping equip students to have a faith that can help them navigate an increasingly complicated world. You're invested in outreach ministries like Vacation Bible School or our daycare and preschool ministries or our various Christmas outreaches. You're investing in the gospel being shared all over the world in missions in places like the Philippines and India and Brazil, even Portland, Oregon. You're investing in feeding the hungry locally, educating future servants of God who are preparing at Bible college, healing the physical and spiritual needs of people through medical missions, and caring for people in Jesus' name, children in Jesus' name here in Park County and in places like Africa. I could go on, but I think you could kind of understand that when you give to RCC, you are investing in the kingdom now and you are investing in the kingdom that is still to come. We are storing up treasures in heaven. And on that note, I want to mention a second practical way, a new way, that we can be rich toward God and we can invest in his kingdom, which is still to come. For several years, the leadership of RCC has been thinking and praying over the future of our congregation and our property and facilities. In fact, we made the decision 3 years ago to update and improve our foyer space, and we've all seen the blessing that that has been. Since that time, we've been making preparations to update and modernize this main building and the big house up on the hill. And we'd even gotten as far as consulting with an architect about the remodeling possibilities and how we might go about improving the property. Then a pandemic came. And all the progress that we were making with the building project stalled. And it's been a challenging year, to say the least, and yet I think God has sustained us and he has gotten us through, hopefully, the worst of the pandemic and its effects. And you have been very faithful in your giving, and we are very grateful for that. Now, as a leadership, we are sensing that it is time to begin moving forward again, and continue with our plans to update the church campus and prepare for the future ministry of RCC. In fact, we actually took a small step toward the future this past week. We've purchased 350 chairs for this auditorium. And I've invited Kevin Jacks, the elder chairman of the board, to come and just share a little bit about that important decision. So Kevin, why don't you come on up and I'll let you talk about that.
In 2023, this building will be 50 years old. And I think back on the years of that, and my father and some of your relatives and things were part of that building committee that decided to build this church. And as a part of that, the church ages, but we have been so fortunate through all these years, and especially now, to have trustees that have taken care of our facility and maintained it, and we've been blessed with that. But we're blessed with a facility that's a kind of a shining light in the community that expands out, and we want to take care of it. And when COVID came, we realized we would clean the pews and we would clean this between services so that you would be safe. As a part of cleaning that, we've noticed wear and tear. And it's hard to clean, and the pews, it's hard to clean in and out, is why that we have gone to chairs. Now, some ask, why chairs? Chairs gives us the opportunity to be flexible. Chairs gives us the opportunity to increase space between if we need to. It gives us flexibility in the building to do different things like vacation Bible school. The chairs that are coming are very comfortable. And we can change the configuration in here. Let's say they wanted to have a conference and have a group in that corner or a breakout session in this corner. The chairs enable us to do that. One of the most important things is the cleanliness of our facility. And we have given you the opportunity to participate in that. The chairs cost about $60 a piece. We would encourage you to buy one, buy two, buy a row, buy one in honor of someone, and we're going to give you that opportunity to participate in that. The good thing is this church has no debt. I want to repeat, the church has no debt, and that's because of your giving, it's because of our staff being prudent with their money, it's because of our trustees. So we are in a position of blessing. And we want to take this facility and make it flexible and to use it for the cause of Christ throughout our community. And as I look out across the crowd, we have many young people. So we have many things that we can do. And that's what we plan to do. We plan to take the Easter offering and to use it to come and to pay for those chairs, which is going to be around $21,000. Sounds like a lot of money, but with a little from each of us, it can be taken care of. I remember years ago, we roofed this building, and as a part of that process, people bought parts of shingles and things like that. We didn't have to borrow money to do that. I remember when we bought the church bus, people were asked. So we're asking you to help in this. And when I was thinking about it, it brought home to me, I was in Arizona golfing last year, came home, and I saw carpet samples in our house. And I saw paint cans in our house. I said, Rita, what's going on? She says, Kevin, we've lived here since 1984. The house was built in 1976. It's time to update. I said, I'm happy with what we got. It works for me. And then she wanted to do the bathroom, and I thought, why? It still works. Why do we do that? You know, we could ask the same things about this room here. It works. It's here. But you know what? After she finished doing the decorating at home that I did not want to do, I appreciate it today. I enjoy it today. And I think, oh, look at the results of what we have done. Building's going to be 50 years old. This has served us well. Let's make it better.
You know, as Kevin mentioned, 2023 is going to be the 50th anniversary of this, the dedication of this building. What an amazing time to kind of celebrate. We think it's going to be a special year in the story of RCC. We're going to take time to celebrate the past, building on the foundation, but also looking ahead to the future as well. And we're going to be preparing for the future by investing in the ministry tools, the tools such as this church building that the owner has entrusted to us as his property managers. And we're going to be sharing more specifically about the building update project and the role that you can play on May 2nd. And on that day, we're going to talk some about our plans to consolidate and update our daycare, to update this worship area, and to update and expand our youth and children's spaces and facilities. We'll be talking more about that. We've set aside Sunday morning, May 2nd, as a Vision Sunday. And so if the weather cooperates, we're going to be worshiping and eating outside together. We'll take time to celebrate the past, but we'll also think about the eternal investments that we can make, even over the next couple of years in preparation for the next 50 years of ministry and mission here at RCC. This is the group of people that God is calling, I think, to make that sacrifice and that investment, not just for the people today, but for the congregation over the next 50 years. One day, we will all stand before the property owner, and we will have to give an account of the management of our resources. And we prepare for that day by investing in eternal things, God and people. And if we live lives that are rich toward God, I think we can expect to hear the Master say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your Master's happiness." C.S. Lewis famously said, "If you live for the next world, you get this one in the deal. But if you live only for this world, you lose them both." Which world are you living for? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this chance to gather and study and worship today. And I pray, Father, that you would just work in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would be wise managers of the resources that you have entrusted to us. I pray, Father, that we would be a people of vision, that we would think about the ministry of the church, not just for today, but in the many years to come. And I pray, God, that you would continue to work and just lead us, give our leaders wisdom, challenge all of us, Father, to just view the resources on loan to us. Help us to view those things as temporary, and help us, Father, to invest those things that will last forever. And Father, we just pray that you would continue just to lead us here at RCC, to fill us with your Spirit, and to guide us in the months and the years to come. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.